Home Teaching, a Divine Service, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Adapted from an October 1997 General Conference Address. It's a wonderful opportunity to bless lives, and in return, your own life will be blessed. In addition to so many other responsibilities, the President of the Church receives a great deal of correspondence each day. I am reminded of one such letter and share it with you. I have changed the name of the young man who wrote the letter. It begins, "Dear President, hi, my name is David Smith. I live in an area where the starlings are very bad, and they are making nests in my step-grandpa's boat and in my dad's barn and all over the place. My step-grandpa and my dad both think I should shoot them, but Mom doesn't. I know the law says it is okay, but I am not asking your opinion as a hunter. I am asking your opinion as a church leader. Sincerely, David Smith. P.S. A starling is a blackbird that eats other birds' eggs and other bad things. Each letter which comes in is answered. A response to this particular letter was sent by the Secretary to the First Presidency, F. Michael Watson. Dear David, I have been asked to acknowledge your letter of April 30th addressed to the President of the Church about the problems you have been having with starlings. The Church does not have an official policy on this matter. The brethren feel it should be left up to your parents to give you appropriate guidance. I hope this information is helpful to you. Sincerely yours, F. Michael Watson. President Hinckley cannot possibly answer every letter personally, nor can he be everywhere. Neither can those of us who assist him reach each member in every nation. However, the wisdom of the Lord provided us guidelines whereby we who hold the priesthood of God can serve, can teach, can testify to the families of the church. Yes, I speak of home teaching. Let us review the counsel of the Lord and his prophets concerning this vital endeavor. The bishop of each ward in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints assigns priesthood holders as home teachers to visit the homes of members every month. They go in pairs. Often a youth holding the Aaronic priesthood accompanies an adult holding the Melchizedek priesthood. The home teaching program is a response to modern revelation, commissioning those ordained to the priesthood to teach, expound, exhort, baptize, and watch over the church, and visit the house of each member, and exhort them to pray vocally and in secret, and attend to all family duties, to watch over the church always, and be with and strengthen them, and see that there is no iniquity in the church, neither hardness with each other, neither lying, backbiting, nor evil speaking. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 20, verses 42, 47, and verses 53 through 54. President David O. McKay admonished, "Home teaching is one of our most urgent and most rewarding opportunities to nurture and inspire, to counsel and direct our Father's children. It is a divine service, a divine call. It is our duty as home teachers to carry the divine spirit into every home and heart, to love the work and to do our best will bring unbounded peace, joy, and satisfaction to a noble, dedicated teacher of God's children." Quoted in Ensign, May 1987, page 49. In performing our home teaching responsibilities, we are wise if we learn and understand the challenges of the members of each family. Some years ago, when the Missionary Executive Committee was comprised of Spencer W. Kimball, Gordon B. Hinckley, and Thomas S. Monson, Brother and Sister Hinckley hosted a dinner for the committee members and our wives. We had just finished a lovely dinner in the beautiful home which Brother Hinckley constructed and on which he did most of the actual work, when suddenly there was a knock at the door. President Hinckley opened the door and noted his home teacher standing there. The home teacher said, "I don't have with me my companion, but I felt I should come tonight. I didn't know you would be entertaining company." President Hinckley graciously invited the home teacher to come in and sit down and instruct three apostles and their wives concerning our duty as members. With a bit of trepidation, the home teacher did his best. President Hinckley thanked him for coming, after which the home teacher made a prompt retreat. Abraham Lincoln offered this wise counsel, which surely applies to home teachers. If you would win a man to your cause, first convince him that you are his sincere friend. President Ezra Taft Benson urged, above all, be a genuine friend to the individuals and families you teach. Ensign, May 1987, page 50. As the Savior declared to us, "I will call you friends, for you are my friends." Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 45. A friend makes more than a dutiful visit each month. A friend is more concerned about helping people than getting credit. A friend cares, a friend loves, a friend listens, and a friend reaches out. Home teaching answers many prayers and permits us to see the occurrence of living miracles. Let me illustrate using situations with which I have been intimately acquainted in years past, as well as in the present period of time. Some years ago, before my leaving to become president of the Canadian Mission headquartered in Toronto, Ontario, I had developed a friendship with a man by the name of Shelley, who lived in the ward but did not embrace the gospel, irrespective of the fact that his wife and children had done so. As I served as a mission president, had I been asked to name anyone I knew not likely to become a member of the church, I believe I would have thought of Shelley. After I was called to the 12, I received a telephone call from Shelley. He said, "Bishop, will you seal my wife, my family, and me in the Salt Lake Temple?" I answered hesitantly, "But Shelley, you first must be a baptized member of the church." He laughed and responded, "Oh, I took care of that while you were in Canada. My home teacher was a school crossing guard, and every weekday, as he and I would visit at the crossing, we would discuss the gospel." I had the privilege to see this miracle with my own eyes and feel the joy with my heart and soul. The sealings were performed. A family was united. Shelley died not long after this period, but not before he publicly thanked his home teachers for their faithful service. As years come and then go, and life's challenges become more difficult, the visits of home teachers to those who have absented themselves from church activity can be the key which will eventually open the doors to their return. With this thought in mind, can we, brethren, not reach out to those for whom we are responsible and bring them to the table of the Lord to feast on His Word and to enjoy the companionship of His Spirit and be no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. President Ezra Taft Benson said that home teaching is priesthood, compassionate service. The Teachings of Ezra Taft Benson, page 225. Not long ago, I received a touching letter from Sister Maury Farmer. It tells of two home teachers and the loving service they provided the Farmer family during a time when the family was experiencing some difficult financial circumstances. At the time the service was provided, the Farmer family was out of town attending a family reunion. I share with you first a written letter to the Farmer family by their home teachers, which the family found taped to their garage door when they returned home. It begins, "We hope you had a great family reunion. While you were gone, we and about 50 of our friends had a great party at your house. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the years of unselfish service you both have given to us. You have been Christ-like examples of untiring service to others. We can never repay you for that, but just thought we'd like to say thanks. Signed, your home teachers. I quote now from Sister Maury Farmer's letter to me. After reading the note from our home teachers, we entered the house with great anticipation. What we found shocked us so much, we were at a loss for words. I stayed up all night crying over the generosity of the people in our ward. Our home teachers had decided that they would fix our carpet while we were away. They had moved the furniture out into the front yard so the carpet could get stretched and finished. One man in the ward stopped and asked what was going on. He returned later with several $100 worth of paint and said, "We might as well paint the house while everything is out." Others saw the cars out front and stopped to see what was going on, and by week's end, 50 people were busy repairing, painting, cleaning, and sewing. Our friends and fellow ward members had fixed our poorly laid carpet, painted the entire house, repaired holes in the drywall, oiled and varnished our kitchen cabinets, put curtains on 3 windows in the kitchen and family room, did all the laundry, cleaned every room in the house, had the carpets cleaned, fixed broken door latches, and on and on. In trying to make a list of all the wonderful things they did for us, we filled 3 pages. All of this had been accomplished between Wednesday and our return on Sunday. Almost everyone we talked to told us, with tears in their eyes, what a spiritual experience it had been to participate. We have been truly humbled by this experience. As we look around our home, we are reminded of their kindness and of the great sacrifices of time, talents, and money they made for our family. Our home teachers have truly been angels in our lives, and we will never forget them and the wonderful things they have done for us. Other instances could well be cited. However, I turn to one example to describe the type of home teachers we should be. There was one teacher whose life overshadows all others. He taught of life and death, of duty and destiny. He lived not to be served, but to serve, not to receive, but to give, not to save his life, but to sacrifice it for others. He described a love more beautiful than lust, a poverty richer than treasure. It was said of this teacher that he taught with authority and not as did the scribes. In today's world, when many men are greedy for gold and for glory and are dominated by the philosophies of men, remember that this teacher never wrote. Once only he wrote on the sand, and wind destroyed forever his handwriting. His laws were not inscribed upon stone, but upon human hearts. See Improvement Era, June 1970, page 91. I speak of the master teacher, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior and Redeemer of all mankind. The biblical account says of him, he went about doing good, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. With him as our unfailing guide and exemplar, we shall qualify for his divine help in our home teaching. Lives will be blessed. Hearts will be comforted. Souls will be saved. End of the article, Home Teaching, a Divine Service, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency.